Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. We first heard Natalie Joachim as half of the duo Flutronics, whose music blended classical flute playing with electronic sounds. She also played for a spell in the Grammy-winning contemporary classical music ensemble Eighth Blackbird. But in 2019, Natalie began exploring her family's roots in Haiti with a striking album called Femme d'Haïti, using flute, string quartet, electronics, field recordings, and her own singing. Now she's continued that exploration with a new record called Kimunuye, or Who Are You? Natalie Joachim is here with flute and electronics in tow, and she's going to start us off with a song called Kenbem.
Merci.
That is Natalie Joachim live here in the studio with Ken Bem from her latest record called Kimunuye. Who are you? Natalie, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
No flute on that one. Just your voice and the backing tracks and singing in English, which happens in a couple of sort of key parts of the record. How do you make that decision, which language to sing in when?
Yeah. Language is such a critical part of this record. It's been such a critical part of coming into myself and also this notion of reclaiming myself. And so there's some amount of power. I think like any kid who grew up in New York and, grew up in a household that was multilingual, you sort of live in this dual space where you're like not quite American enough, but you're also not quite Haitian enough, right? Mm. And so there's something about the power of claiming both languages and understanding that at any point in time, you know, when you're dealing with translation, for example, there's always some amount of compromise. There's always some little bits of residue that are sort of lost in the transaction. And so for me on the record, choosing when and what to say in English, I think, is a little bit of a power move. And also choosing when and what to say in Creole is equally powerful, that there are messages that need to be expressed in one way or another for myself, but also I think need to be received by specific audiences in some way. And so I am flipping the power dynamic of that and saying that, you know, being able to move fluidly between all of these languages, music included, really is something that I think allows you to sort of inhabit your full self, and for me, my full self on this record.
So just a quick aside, what does Ken Bem mean in Creole?
Ken Bem means hold me.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting, though, because that, you know, the chorus I sing in Creole is actually from a hymn that you hear my grandmother sing in the song. It means at face value, sort of like, thank you for holding me. Mm. But on a deeper level, it really means like, thank you for having a sense of consciousness to know that I need space to be held for me. Which is a deep and beautiful thing, and something about having that double layer of understanding said and expressed in Creole, I think, is really important and powerful and sort of doesn't translate
yeah.
in the very same way in English. So it's a great example, actually, of this sort of gliding between the languages.
Well, and there's an interesting analogy in the musical language on this record, because in the previous record, Femme d'Haïti, Women of Haiti, it was you, string quartet, there were electronics, there were field recordings, but the sound skewed more kind of contemporary classical, whereas this record, you know, we still have all of those sounds, but now there's the kind of the breakbeat drumming of Jason Truding, and the first sounds we hear on the record are these kind of stuttering, sampled electronic sounds. So talk a little bit about, you know, the kind of duality of the musical language.
Yeah, for sure. I love, actually, this. For me, I became kind of like obsessed. As you mentioned, I've been working with electronics for a really long time.
Right.
And for this record, I became kind of obsessed with this idea of sampling. In particular, what does it mean to sample tiny bits of my own voice, and could I develop my own sort of language of sampling? And so in Kembem, you hear my grandmother quite literally sampled in the way that we're used to thinking of sampling, but this sort of jittery stutter texture is actually very tiny sort of hand collage bits of my voice from elsewhere on the record. That became the underbelly of the compositional language for me, and what does it mean for me to be not only in conversation with my own voice in that way, but perhaps in some way with my ancestors in that sense, because my voice is, of course, my own, but is also born of theirs. And in some way, this idea of taking my voice and reinventing it and creating something new out of it and then putting myself in conversation with that allowed me the rest of my musical language to also develop in an interesting way. I think that it also really began to focus it in a way that feels quintessentially my own.
Well, and this is, after all, an album about identity. Kimunuye, who are you? Is this you asking yourself that question?
It is. And throughout the record, I attempt to answer it from lots of different angles. One of the fascinating things I think about this question of Kimunuye in Creole is that it does mean who are you, but it can also mean whose people are you, or who do you belong to, right? Who claims you? And you hear that come up in one of the songs I'll share today. But so this idea of ownership of self, but also claiming every bit of you, which might mean that you have to go and dig down deep to the roots to find out exactly who you are.
Right. So you have the duality of spoken or sung languages, English and Creole. You have this kind of duality of musical, well, maybe more than two layers, because Western classical, North American pop, and, you know, there's almost a kind of folky quality to some of the melodies that you sing. I mean, do you quote from actual Haitian tunes anywhere on the record?
I don't. Kembem is maybe the only one where I do, because you hear my grandmother sing that hymn.
Right.
But every other song, unlike Femme d'Haïti, is really an original song. For me, this was quite a feat. I'm not known really for being a songwriter. and so it was a challenge not only to focus on what it means to write song, but also to do that in two languages, right? And so I'm quite proud of that. A song, I think, is maybe the hardest thing to write, should be the simplest thing to write, but is maybe because of all of the, I don't know, I feel like composers sort of have this tendency to, especially contemporary classical composers, to kind of overcomplicate things that should maybe just be simple, right? And I think you hear that a little bit in the writing, that vocally things really do remain quite open and simple and leave lots of room for me to insert my own inflection. But it's really the sort of like underpinnings of the texture below where I allowed myself to be as complicated as I'd like.
Okay. The song you're going to do next is called Kutio, which means what?
Kutio means stitches. And in this case, the kind that hold wounds together.
Oh.
And in the song, I say not to touch the stitches, right? Because even if these wounds seem like they are healed, and even if you can't see them, they're quite deep. So to be mindful as you press on people, to be mindful as you engage with people. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to pick up on that thread. Thread stitches. Yeah, sorry about that. But first, let's hear this performance by Natalie Joachim. She's here in the studio with her electronics and her flute. And, of course, the voice comes with her wherever she goes. Here's the song called Kutio.
Thank you.
Coutillo, Stitches, the name of that song from Natalie Joachim. You'll find that on her new record, Kimunuye, Who Are You? And Natalie performing here today and on Friday, March 15th, at the Resnick Education Wing of Carnegie Hall, doing pretty much what you're doing for us today, right?
Yeah.
And then a week from today, Ensemble Connect premieres your new piece called I'm Right Here.
That's
so,
right.
Something to look forward to there. Let me come back to something you said before playing that piece. You know, so you're excavating all of these ideas of family, ancestry, identity. What does your family think of all this?
Oh, gosh. I think that they're proud. You know, I think I will say that one of the biggest gifts that came out of making this record is not only that I got to write most of this music on my family's land, which meant that I got to be really in conversation with them and in community with them while making it. But we had the chance to shoot just one music video for the record.
For the title track, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And we got to shoot that on my family's land. We have been in this community and in community with these folks in Dantin, which is a very, very tiny place. Even people in Haiti don't know where Dantin is. It's, you know, just nothing but a school and a church and a tiny farming village. But our families have been caring for one another so deeply for now seven generations and counting. And it was incredible after having made this record, where I really sort of took myself down to the studs and contended with a lot that I had been not facing head on in my life, to come into this space to make the music video and realize that not just my immediate family, but the entire community stopped everything they were doing for the whole week. They, you know, to ask this question of Kimunuye, I am theirs and they are mine, you know, and to be surrounded by that love and to have my literal family in the music video, those who could be there in the music video standing beside me, including the matriarch of our family, who's my aunt, who's 92 years old. That, to me, showed me what my family thinks of it and also what family can mean, and this idea of people claiming you and holding space for you. It was a beautiful moment. So I'd say they like it.
Okay. Now, you said something and it went by really fast, but I am someone who has stripped things down to the studs. Mm. And when you do that, it's not because you want to see the studs. It's because you want to build something new on those studs. So what was it, having stripped yourself down to the studs, that you were hoping to build in place of what had been there before?
Yeah, I mean, I think it allowed me an opportunity to parse out what was salvageable about some of the trauma that I carried from, you know, life and being a person walking on a planet that's like on fire 80% of the time, you know? And so it allowed me to parse out what I could salvage and make into something new, what I could repair and find new purpose for, and also what it was really time to let go of. Mm. And I think the biggest thing that I found in the rebuilding was that there was so much space for love, and love in every sense of the word, including and maybe most importantly, loving myself deeply and truly and honestly, and understanding what it means to share in love and space with other people. And I think it, as a person who continues to exist in a world that is never and seemingly unendingly on fire, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that the notion of that quite literally saved my life, you know. Mm. So, and it is the thing that I feel most responsible for sharing now in the world.
What about the idea, I mean, you talk about a world on fire. We think of Haiti as a failed state that is on fire, you know. To be able to show a different view of Haiti to people.
I mean, it is so valuable to me to take this place that's Dantin, that to most people is nothing and nowhere, including Google Maps.
You know? Is that true?
Yeah, that like my dad and I periodically check and see if our house has appeared on the map yet. But yeah, that there are people existing in these places. There are millions of people living in these places, finding a way to make something out of nothing, finding a way to care for one another. And it's more often those people who are willing to give you every single thing that they have, even if what it seems that they have is nothing at all.
Yeah. So there is many layers of storytelling in this project, Kimunuye. And I want to ask you to play the title track for us in a moment, but you're classically trained as a flutist. What about, you know, the main delivery of the storytelling is your voice? What kind of, I mean, are you classically trained at all as a singer?
No, not at all. I'm sure all our classical singers out there are like, I don't think so. and I don't claim that at all. But I will say, you know, my earliest musical memories are with my grandmother singing songs together. And I had an amazing conversation with a friend of mine who's actually a therapist, not my therapist, but a therapist. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about song as all of our sort of original language. Even if you think of infancy, you know, that our cries and our understanding that those cries, if delivered in certain ways, can and will be answered and responded to, right? That we can shape that in such a way that people will see it and respond to it and recognize it, right? And so I maybe am not classically trained, but isn't it the language that we were all born singing? And isn't it perhaps the thing that created space for all of the rest of this music? So I feel that in some way this notion of reclaiming self, reclaiming language, and discovering origin is so deeply connected to me figuring out the most honest and authentic way, albeit imperfect, to share my voice.
Well, and you said earlier, I'm not known as a songwriter. That is changing, and people are coming to know you as a songwriter. I think that we're coming to know you as a singer, too. And so maybe discovering that part of you was a nice byproduct of, you know, this whole journey to identity.
I would say so, for sure.
All right. let's hear the title track from Kimunuye, which means Who Are You? Once again, a live performance in our studio from Natalie Joachim. Thank you. Natalie Joachim singing the title track from her latest record, Kimunuye, Who Are You? Although, as you said before, Natalie, the double meaning of whose people are you from? Who claims you? The solo set you're doing at Carnegie at the Resnick Educational Wing, that'll be March 15th. A week from today, I'm Right Here gets its premiere, Ensemble Connect at Carnegie. What is that piece about?
Oh, gosh. It was such a joy to write it, and I cannot wait for people to hear it. I'm Right Here is an interesting investigation of what it feels like to be in close relationship with someone and to realize suddenly that perhaps they don't actually see you for who you really are, right? Mm. But still making this attempt to offer yourself to them. So that's where it gets its title from, I'm Right Here. And it's similar to a lot of this record. It's
identity is very much, you know, an idea animating both of these projects.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I think the musical language is maybe the first time that I feel like in a setting where I'm not performing that I've really been able to capture and translate a lot of this in a similar way. So I'm so excited. Okay. And I was able to hear them rehearsing the other day, and I just can't wait for everyone to hear it.
All right. Well, that's next Monday, the 18th at Carnegie Hall, the world premiere of I'm Right Here by Natalie Joachim. Natalie, it's been great having you back here in the studio. As you know, I was a big fan of Femme d'Haïti, the previous record, and this one is just more than a sequel. It's like an expansion, it seems, of the work that previous record started.
Thank you so much.
Natalie Joachim, my guest here in the studio, and down the hall, Joe Enright shooting video of Natalie's performances here, and in the control room, our technical director, Irene Trudell, and producer, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with everything we're doing on New Sounds by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up on the website at newsounds.org.